What is biocentrism?
Well, it's actually an out-and-out challenge to our view of the world. We think that life is just an accident of physics, but a long list of experiments actually suggests the opposite. So amazingly, if you add life to the equation, you can explain some of the biggest puzzles of science. So for instance, it becomes clear why space and time and even matter itself depend on the observer. And it also explains why our universe appears to be fine-tuned for the existence of life. And according to this theory that I'm laying out, consciousness is actually the key to understanding the world.
All right, slow up a little bit. I'm fascinated by consciousness. It's been my favorite topic for a long time. The world does appear to be fine-tuned for human occupation.
Right.
And there are two great and grand theories about that. One is design, of course, intelligent design, and the other is that it's just that way. It has to be that way, because otherwise we simply wouldn't be here. So where do you fall in that?
Well, I mean, obviously the universe has this long list of traits that makes it appear as though everything was tailor-made for us. So, for instance, if the Big Bang had been one pot in a million more powerful, the cosmos would have blown out far too fast for stars and worlds to form. Or if the gravitational force was a hair less, stars wouldn't ignite, and there simply wouldn't be a sun. And the result, of course, is no us. And it turns out there's actually over 200 different parameters so exact that it's strange reason to think that they're just random. You tweak any of them, and we never existed. So none of these are predicted by any scientific theory, and they all seem to be very carefully chosen to allow for life. And so obviously, according to biocentrism, you know, with life and consciousness as the key, it's obviously obvious that the universe is simply the logic that would be necessary for the observer.
Okay, but I'm still not sure I'm clear on this, on which side you're falling on. In other words, yes, all of that certainly is true, but are you suggesting that there was or was not intelligent design?
Well, intelligent design, actually, in the general sense of the word, is referring to that there's a creator, you know.
That's right. That
there was,
yes, that's right.
Somebody in a ball up in the sky that said this is the way or that. And you know, and biocentrism doesn't really discuss whether or not that's right or wrong. What it's basically saying is that based on various experiments that have been carried out repeatedly in physics, for instance, we know that virtually everything that you see out there, every particle, depends on the observer for their very properties. And it turns out that life and consciousness are absolutely essential to reality, so that it's clear that without an observer, without the animal observer, you could not actually have existence, you could not have reality. So therefore, you could not have a universe where life does not exist, that life is simply a reflection of, you know, when you think of space and time, they're actually tools of our mind. They're not these external objects. So that the universe that we think of is basically a concept that basically is the complete spatial temporal logic of the animal observer, if that makes any sense.
Put simply, it's all in our minds.
Well, yes, actually.
So without us to observe it, are you suggesting it would not be?
Well,
for us it wouldn't be, obviously, but I mean it would still physically, the physics of everything that's here, plus or minus humanity, would still be the physics of here.
Well, it actually turns out, and there are very real experiments that show you this, is that there is not a single, that matter, the properties of matter do not actually exist until they're actually observed. They actually exist in what's called a state of superposition, so that they're just probability waves. And so let's just give you an example. So this is an experiment called the two-hole experiment. When scientists watch a particle pass through two holes in the barrier, the particle behaves like a little bullet, and logically, it goes through one hole or the other. But the strange part is that if you don't watch it, it acts like a wave. It can actually go through more than one hole at the same time. So you say, well, how can that be? You know, if there's really a particle out there, how come it would change its behavior and whether or not you watch it or not. And the answer is simple, that that reality is a process that does involve our consciousness. Or even one of the mainstream foundations of quantum theory is something known as Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which you may have heard of. If there was really a world out there with particles just bouncing around that existed independent of us, then why should we not be able to measure all their properties? And it turns out that if you decide to know the exact location, you can't know the particle's momentum. Or if you look at the momentum, you can't know its location. So why should the properties of matter depend on what you decide to measure? Again, the answer is simple. The particles just aren't out there independent of our consciousness. And it goes on and on. There's something called entangled particles. If you were to send these pairs of particles in opposite directions to opposite sides of the galaxy, they would actually behave as if there was no space or no time between them. And again, why? And that, again, is because space and time are not these external objects. They're really tools of our mind.
Well, nobody's been able to adequately explain to me how that works, how those particles know to behave in a similar fashion across time and space as though it did not exist, and they do. It's not possible, and it's not possible to explain. At least I know nobody who has yet done it. You're suggesting biocentrism does explain it.
Yes, I think one of the faulty assumptions of current science is that space and time are these external objects. And as far back as Immanuel Kant, you know, he knew that space and time were really forms of our intuition, of our understanding. So wave your hand through the air. You know, you can take everything away, but what's left? And the answer, of course, is nothing. And the same thing applies for time. You can't put it in a bottle like milk. So you can look at anything, say the radio. You can't see that through the bone that surrounds your brain. It turns out that everything you see and experience right now is a world of information occurring inside your head. So space and time are simply the mind's tools for putting it all together. And we carry them around like turtles with shells. I mean, if anyone falls off to sleep or dozes off here, you'll probably go into a dream. And yet, in your dream, your mind certainly has the capacity to fly or jump off cliffs. You can create a spatial temporal reality. So clearly, your mind has the ability to organize things according to specific spatial temporal rules.
Are you suggesting that if we were to be able to learn to use our consciousness in a specific way, we might be able to alter what we perceive as reality?
Well, I unfortunately, if you jump off the roof, you're going to get hurt very badly, regardless of whether you want to fly or not. So you do actually follow the rules of causality. So you can decide whether or not you want to, you know, have Captain Crunch or cornflakes for breakfast. But what biocentrism is saying is that reality is a process. It's not just something that you just open your eyes and it's out there. You know, our view of the world is the same as like a chipmunk or a squirrel. You know, the squirrel opens his eyes and the acorn is just miraculously there, and he grabs it and scurries up the tree without any further thought. And we humans are really the same. We wake up in the morning and the world is just magically there. But again, you know, as I just mentioned, there are experiments that show that not a single particle exists with any real properties until it's observed. In fact, one of Einstein's colleagues, John Wheeler, he actually was the guy who coined the word black hole. He actually said that no phenomena is a real phenomena until it's observed. And even Stephen Hawking at this point now has a new concept of the universe, what he calls his top-down theory, where he's saying that the actual observer actually determines the past. If you think about it, if the particles right now in the present are not determined until you observe them, then how can there actually be a past? So this stuff starts to get very, very weird, which is why you can understand the physicists are having such a hard time with it.